The iPhone, I think, is one of our really great success stories because we started testing the iPhones when they first came out. We initially realized that these just are not ready for the enterprise yet. We were looking for things like enterprise management, a little better device encryption. We fed that information back to Apple, and then the 3G came out, and we tested that. We had pilot users in our environment testing, about 50 of them. And then when the 3GS came out, we finally said, hey, this is the device that NASA can build into a service delivery for our customers. And we worked with Odin, which is our service provider, to build a seat that customers could purchase, and they get unlimited minutes and unlimited text and, you know, access to the internet with an iPhone 3GS. We now are looking at the iPhone 4 and saying, you know, does it introduce any complexities that we're not prepared for? We have a security plan against it. Similar with the iPads. Now that we've done some the process, you know, development during the iPad testing with the iPhone testing with the iPads, we're now able to use a lot of the lessons learned from the iPhones, and we're hoping to reduce the time it takes us from, you know, the introduction of the technology to be able to providing it to our customers. It's a device that you really don't know what's going to happen when you get it into the hands of the end users, the scientists at NASA that really come up with some great uses for it that we hadn't at all anticipated.
You guys also are looking at the Droid. You're looking at the iPad. Where are we with the Droid, for instance? I know there's a pilot going on, at least in some centers, with the Droid.
Yeah, we are looking at the Android operating system. We tested the Motorola Droids, and just like the early iPhones, operating system was just not quite ready for the enterprise yet. The latest one, the Android 2.2 operating system, seems to have some of the components that we were really looking for, and we hope that we'll be able to fast-track that into the environment as a supported device.
And now you guys also are hoping to test another touchpad device that's going to run Windows. That's maybe not as advanced as you'd hope, but give us just a little bit of an idea of what that's about and when do you hope to see that pilot kind of jump off?
Yeah, I was hoping to have testing results in time for the conference. We realized that the form and functionality of the Windows operating system with a multi-touch device may be a niche that some people are interested in. We have a lot of people that are traditional tablet users that are saying, you know, I would like something like an iPad Slate, but I need a real operating system. I don't want to be running Android on there. I want something that's going to run, you know, my Exchange Outlook client and my Microsoft Office and my applications in a multi-touch environment. So Windows 7 has introduced, you know, the ability to do multi-touch across the entire architecture. And we found a company that was building, they look very much like an iPad, but it has all the traditional features of the Windows operating system. It has USB interface, it has, you know, SIM slot. So this is the kind of stuff that we're hoping to get in shortly.
You also have done a recent survey, kind of an unscientific survey, if you will, of some of the users of both, I guess, iPhone and Android. Talk about what some of those results are, and there's some of the surprises, if you will, that you learned from those results. And give us a sense of how many people we're talking about.
It was a survey of our pilot users. So our pilot user base was around somewhere between 50 and 100. I think we got respondents back from about 50 people. So as I said, very unscientific. We asked them on a scale of 1 to 5 if they liked the device, if it was what features they felt were important. We found, by and large, that with the iPhones in particular, the most surprising thing was 100% of the survey respondents said that the iPhone made them more productive. And in my 25 years of doing IT, there hasn't been never a device that we could get anybody to agree at 100% that this was a device that was going to make them more productive. That was a big surprise. The other thing we found, we asked them about is, you know, how much support do you want from NASA, from the IT organization, for your device? And some people said, yeah, we do need that kind of hand-holding. We do want some support. We want to be able to call up if, you know, we're having a problem. But I think it was something like 25% of the people said, you know, just give us the device and leave us alone. And whatever you do, you know, don't mess up the device. I like the way it functions now. I don't want you overlaying some IT policies and things that are really going to make the experience of the device not what I purchased it for. People are buying it for the applications. They're buying it for, you know, user productivity. They don't want IT getting in the way of that. And I think that's coming across loud and clear in our surveys.
And I talked a lot about the pilots that's going on. They're small pilots, the offerings for the iPhone, for instance, iPhone 3G, the iPhone 4G potentially. Where are we headed in the future, you know, in a year from now, 6 months from now, is this going to be kind of standard issuance for NASA employees to get either an iPhone or a Droid or a BlackBerry Touch? And same thing with an iPad versus the Microsoft Windows version, or even I think some of the other computer companies are coming out with their version of a tablet. Is that where you see this going, or is it still a couple years away because of some security concerns.
Well, I think the iPhones and the iPads have matured very well with the ability to do some enterprise support. I mean, the iPads, we're still working with Apple and AT&T to do some enterprise billing, which is it's a big deal for a federal agency to be able to buy applications, for example, in bulk and have them all, you know, owned by the government but doled out to the customers. The App Store doesn't work that way by default. So, you know, something needs to be done either by AT&T or Odin, our service provider, or, you know, Apple to kind of, you know, add a little bit of enterprise support to that. But by and large, you know, the iPhones have matured to the point where we can provide them to our customers, and we are providing them. I think the Windows slate devices are really nascent technology. I mean, we saw HP was out in front at CES 2010 this year where Steve Ballmer showed one and got us all geeked up about it, and then HP decided, well, maybe we're not going to do that after all. So we are talking to HP about, you know, what are their plans for any kind of Windows devices in that area. And just trying to canvas what we might get from our vendors. But I don't see that happening anytime in the next year or so to the point where we're being able to offer it as a seat to our customers. We have a seat contract, so customers are most comfortable buying things as a monthly billing charge. You know, let me buy this seat from you for, you know, $200 a month, and you give me the features that I need. So we look to get things from this, you know, pilot testing phase into production as quickly as possible. But when the technology is not mature enough, that might take a little longer. So iPhones are there, iPads are really close behind, and the Windows slate's probably a year out, I'd say.
And the Droid?
Yeah, the Droid is maturing. We only just got our hands on the 2.2 operating system. We think it has the features that we're looking for, the ability to do policies and things. So we think we're going to be able to introduce that as a seat shortly. But I'd say that's probably more in the 6-month range right now.